The text for our sermon this evening consists of verses 15 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17 of the text declares to us that the afflictions of the people of God are only light and momentary. And we might very well wonder and ask the question, is the violent death of a husband or a wife or of a very small child and the grief that the parents experience, is that only light? Is the destruction that a disease can have upon our body, say cancer, and how it ravages our body year after year, is that affliction only light? Or even is the constant pain and torment of depression only light and momentary? Or what about when we look at our own families? Is the affliction we experience because of a wayward brother or a sister or a father or a mother, and the grief that we experience because we see our loved ones walking in sin, is that a grief that is only light? Or what about the constant bearing about in our body the marks of Jesus Christ and being persecuted for righteousness' sake and becoming the object of mockery and ridicule day in and day out? Perhaps even what you experience for even being in these pews this evening, is that a grief and a pain that is only light and momentary? And what about when the great persecution, of which Matthew chapter 24 speaks, among other chapters, when that will break out upon the church? Will it be true that we can say that that affliction is only light and momentary? And what about the people of God who suffer year in and year out because of whatever trials God has placed in their lives? Do ministers and do elders in the day and age in which we live go to God's people, whether they are in the funeral home, whether they are on the hospital bed, whether they are grieving in their own homes? Do ministers and elders bring this word of God to people in their suffering today? Now, perhaps you might be thinking, and let no one here respond, that the apostle could write this about affliction because he didn't experience very much affliction in his life, or at least he didn't experience as much affliction as I do in my life. We know that's not the case. And as a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul experienced great persecution and tribulation and affliction in the body. And when we turn just a few chapters ahead in the Scriptures, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, The Apostle Paul tells us what kinds of tribulations and afflictions he experienced in his life. Listen to everything that the Apostle went through. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. This is 2 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. The Apostle Paul knew what affliction was. And yes, even about his own affliction, he says that it is light and momentary. And so in all of this, we see also, though, that even though the Apostle Paul knew what affliction was, he knew something more. He knew God. He knew the God of the Christian religion. He knew the comfort that the gospel of Jesus Christ provides. And he knew that this God is sovereign and almighty, which is evident in those first words of the text. All things are for your sakes, which implies that God is sovereign over all things and that he works all things for your good, even the evil that befalls us in this life. And further, the Apostle Paul knew this God in the abundance of the grace that God gives in Jesus Christ his Lord. And so knowing this great and gracious God, the Apostle Paul could write that our affliction is only light and only momentary and works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So I call your attention to this text under the theme, Affliction Working Glory. Let's see in the first place the meaning of that. Secondly, the recipients. And finally, the importance. This word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is one of the most comforting words in all of Scripture for God's people who are suffering affliction. It comes to us this evening in order to encourage us and to strengthen us to bear our afflictions patiently. Now, fundamental to this encouraging word of the gospel is the hope that is ours of life and of glory after this present temporal life is over with. The text speaks that the afflictions of this life are light and momentary and worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's a weight of glory that is awaiting for you and for me. Now, if all there was to this temporal life, if the only thing that this life consisted of were which the text speaks about, the things that are seen, if that's the only thing that life consisted of for you and for me, so that the only thing that would encourage us, comfort us, would be the things we could see with the eye of the body, then we would be of all things, all men, most miserable. And if such were the case, then our response to all the afflictions of this present life would be either on the one hand, despair, despair over what God has done to me in my life, or bitterness against God on the other. But the Word of God says that this temporal life is not all that there is. There is another life, a life of glory. And that life of eternal glory will be ours when this present temporal life has ceased. Nor are the things that are seen the only things that for you and for me, because the text describes that there are also the things that are not seen. And so hoping for that life of glory, hoping to enjoy those things that are not seen with the eye of the body now, we bear up under the present afflictions. And this encouraging word, which is one of the most comforting words of all of Scripture, is based solidly on the Word of God with regard to the hope of the resurrection of our bodies and the life to come. That is a reality, and our great hope is the resurrection of the body in the day of Jesus Christ. That's referred in the text, well, in the verse prior to the text, in verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That is our hope. That hope is the certain expectation of a great good in the future. And we believe that when this earthly life is ended in the souls, we go up to Jesus in heaven, and in our souls we enjoy eternal life and glory at the moment of our death. And the Apostle Paul affirms that truth, and that aspect of our hope is spoken about in the first verse of chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That, beloved, is the hope of life with Christ immediately after the life of this body, and that is the hope that we look forward to, that eternal weight of glory. How remarkable, how fascinating. We desire that because we know that this life is full of trials and tribulations. We want that life of glory, and we want to experience that life of glory. Now, it is in comparison with that glory that you will have when Christ returns, a glory that consists of nothing less than the glory of the risen and exalted Jesus Christ. It is in comparison to that glory that the Apostle Paul in the Word of God says that your present afflictions are only light and momentary. There is that comparison in the text. That coming eternal glory is far more exceeding with regard to your present affliction. And so in comparison to the glory that you will have one day, the affliction that you now experience is only light and only momentary. Now, let us understand this, something that we all do understand. Affliction all by itself is not light and is not momentary. In itself, affliction is heavy. In itself, affliction can be sometimes crushingly heavy. In and of itself, affliction can be very tedious and drags on day after day after day. And we wake up with it in the morning, and we experience it during the day, and we go to bed with it at night, and we wake up in the middle of the night with that same affliction. No, not in itself is affliction light and momentary in itself, affliction is very heavy and very enduring and lasting. And the Apostle Paul himself experienced that type of the heaviness of the affliction, because twice in the chapter, in verse 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, uses that language of fainting. We faint not, and I faint not. Fainting is spiritual exhaustion. Fainting is being crushed. Fainting is giving up on the Christian life, giving up on the Christian calling. For the Apostle Paul here, for him to give up on his calling as a minister and apostle, fainting is surrendering. Fainting is throwing in the towel and saying, I can't go any longer. I give up. I cannot endure this present affliction. But what did the Apostle Paul say? He says in verse 1, verse 16 as well, I faint not. But that he refers to fainting, not once, but twice, in this very short chapter, shows us that indeed the temptation for him and the great difficulty that he had was to faint in the day of affliction because of the heaviness of his burdens. And the Apostle Paul also expresses the severity of his afflictions when he says that the effect of affliction in his own life and in our lives as well, according to verse 16, is that our outward man perishes. Verse 16, though our outward man perish. That's the effect of affliction. Our outward man is not simply our body consisting of flesh and blood, but our outward man is our earthly life. And everything that is involved in our earthly life, including those things that make our earthly life comfortable and pleasurable, our earthly life and our outward man, according to what the text refers to, is our relationships with our husband, with our wives, with our children, with our loved ones. Our outward man is our physical life and all our physical capabilities. Our outward life is our daily job and vocation, in which we also have an interest and a pleasure. Our outward man consists in our recreation and sport, our reading, our listening to music, and our eating and drinking. And now the Word of God says that outward man perishes as a result of affliction. Now sometimes our outward man perishing, it happens in a very physical way, where there is some debilitating and devastating disease that racks our body, and slowly, day by day, our body dies. Or our outward man can perish in more of a psychological way. There may come into our life some trouble that simply takes from us all joy from life altogether. Whether it's some disappointment, some sorrow, whether in our family or with regard to our work, and we say to ourselves, I have nothing to live for in life anymore. My life was pleasant. My life at one point in time was easy to live, but now I can't stand it, and I must go on living this life because God doesn't take this life from me, and I am miserable because of this affliction, which also is a type of spiritual fainting. And so, not in and of itself is affliction light and only for a moment. Only in comparison to the coming glory can we speak of your afflictions being light and only for a moment. Think of it this way, that the Bible presents before us the scales, we may say the scales of the Word of God. And if you were to take all your afflictions, remember here are these scales, place all your afflictions, your past afflictions, your present afflictions, and all the afflictions that you will experience in the future, and place them on this side of the scale. And then over here, on this side of the scale, place the glory that shall be yours in the day of Jesus Christ, the glory that consists in nothing less than the glory of the risen and exalted Jesus Christ. And when you weigh those two, you will find, because the Word of God says so, that the weight of this glory sinks because it is so heavy. And in comparison to this heavy weight of glory, the Bible says that the present affliction that you are experiencing is only light and only for a moment. And so the Word of God to us this evening is this: compare your affliction, perhaps that you are experiencing right now, to that heavy weight of glory that will be yours in the day of Jesus Christ. And we know that glory will be everlasting. We will have it. We will experience it. And when we think about that glory and about our life in heaven, where there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, then you will see, and I will see, that the afflictions of this present time really are only light. Really, they're only momentary in comparison to the weight of glory that God has in store for us. Even what are a few years of affliction then? What is 50 years of affliction? What is 80, 90, 100 years of affliction in this life in comparison to the glory that shall be yours in the day of Jesus Christ? And the Apostle Paul here then piles on the superlatives when he brings forth this comparison. We read in verse 17, far more exceeding. And literally the Apostle Paul says here that that glory that shall be yours is super exceedingly exceeding with regard to your present afflictions. And so this is an important aspect of our encouragement this evening, because I need to hear this Word of God, and you need to hear this Word of God, because the temptation for us in the day of affliction is to faint and to look at the things which are seen and not to understand and to look properly at the things which are not seen. And sometimes when we are so afflicted, that's all we can think about. That's all we can feel. The heaviness and the lastingness of that particular affliction that God might have placed in our lives. And then we become sorry for ourselves, and pretty soon we begin to pity ourselves, and then sooner than later we begin to despair of God's mercy, and then that despair turns into resentment, and we begin to question God's ways for us in our lives. But this Word of God puts our affliction in its rightful place, does it not? This Word of God is the Word that we need to hear in a proper season. This is the Word of God that pastors and elders must, in a careful and appropriate way, bring to those saints in the congregation who are suffering under their present afflictions. In comparison to the glory that shall be yours, your present affliction is only light and only momentary. But God isn't satisfied simply that we know that in comparison to the present glory, or to the future glory, that our present afflictions are only light and momentary, because if that were the only comfort that we have, then the affliction that we experience would still remain a real menacing evil in our lives. And we would say, well, yes, I know that in the day of Jesus Christ, I will receive that glory, and that glory is much more heavy than my present affliction, but nevertheless, my life would be so much better if God did not place this affliction in my life. And so the full comfort and encouragement of this Word of God is not only that the coming glory for you and me is going to be far more weighty than our present affliction, but the Word of God also and especially is this, that affliction that you may be experiencing works for you that exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what the text says. Our light affliction worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now that's remarkable. And we were prepared by that as well, by the opening words of the passage. For all things are for your sakes. All things in this world, nothing excluded, is for your sakes. Everything that befalls the child of God. Not only health, it's easy to think when I'm healthy, yes, that is for my benefit, but sickness is for your sakes. Not only prosperous times, but those times when our bank accounts run low. Not only disappointment, but the happiness of life as well. Family sorrows. It not only includes our physical life, but also physical death. The Word of God says all things are for your sakes. And so the truth concerning our present affliction and the coming glory is not only and not merely that now there is affliction in my life, but then there will be glory. The truth about glory and affliction is not that, yes, someday there will be glory for me in spite of the affliction that I experience now in this life, but the Word of God to you and to me is this. There is glory for you because God makes your present affliction actually work towards that glory. And God uses our present affliction as a means to give unto us that glory. Now, how that happens, the text indicates when it speaks of the renewing of the inward man. That's verse 16. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. This, remember, is the effect of affliction, that affliction causes the outward man to perish. And by means of affliction, the inward man is renewed day by day. And so between the perishing of the old man and the renewing of the new man, there is the closest possible relationship. Perishing of the outward not only results in, but it brings about the renewing of that inward man. And so you and I have an outward man, which is our entire earthly life, but that's not the only man that we have. The Scripture here speaks of an inward man. And as the outward man is our external earthly life and all of its relationships, our inward man, we may say, is our spiritual life. So that if your outward man is your relationship to your family, your inward man is your relationship to God. and to Jesus Christ. If your outward man is your physical health, then your inward man is your spiritual health. And if your outward man is your joy in your work, in your recreation, in your pleasure, then your inward man is your finding joy and comfort and delight in the forgiveness of sins and in peace and in righteousness before God. And when your outward man perishes because of some affliction, then your inward man is renewed day by day. And sometimes it goes along these lines, that you or I are guilty of some sin. Others may not know about it. God knows about it. And He convicts us by the Word of God. And we know that because of that sin that we are experiencing the heavy hand of God upon us. But then God comes to us in a season of His grace. And then He shines His light upon us. And then He turns us so that we walk on that straight and narrow way. And now we appreciate more and more what God has done for us in turning us from sin unto Him. And in that case, that affliction has worked for our benefits. Or even this way, that when God brings severe affliction upon us, that in the day of our terrible, excruciating affliction, that we fall down on our knees, because that's the only thing that we can do. And we pray for grace. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And God shines His face upon us, and He restores us. And when we look back on the affliction in which we were, and that God brought us out of that affliction, we are so thankful to God that we give unto Him more praise and more honor and more glory for His great mercy towards us. And you see in all those instances that the Spirit, that even though our outward man perishes, nevertheless God uses those afflictions so that day by day our inward man is renewed. And that's the law of life for the Christian, that affliction is for our profit. Destroying that outward man, yes, but renewing that inward man day by day. And so the truth of the Word of God is that you have an inward man, and you have an outward man as well. Now, God is concerned with that outward man, with your earthly life. But God's more concerned with your inward man and with your spiritual health. And God is concerned that that inward man is sound and healthy and grows up day by day. But in order for that to be the case, there has to be affliction so that that inward man can grow and be strengthened and flourish. And that affliction then is necessary because it works for us that eternal weight of glory. Now implied in all of this is that God is sovereign over all our afflictions. Don't let anybody who preaches the false gospel rob you of the comfort that this Word of God provides for you. Because those who deny this Word of God are denying God's people a critical point of comfort. Because what we must know is, all things are yours, not naturally. Affliction works for your benefit, not naturally. But God controls the affliction. He is in control of everything in this life. That's what we mean when we say God is sovereign. And God brings these afflictions in His own wonderful and in His own masterful way just when we need it. just when our inward man needs to be renewed day by day, God brings that affliction in our life. That outward man perishes, but by means of that affliction, over which God is sovereign, our inward man is strengthened. And so God is the sovereign over evil as well as the good, and He adds His grace to make that affliction work for our profit. Now, the text says unto us, it speaks unto us, who are the recipients of this great grace of God. Affliction works for our profit. Again and again, you read that first person plural. And you notice here too the particularity of the gospel in the text. The gospel is always particular. It is a word of grace and favor for some only, and not for everybody in this world, head for head. And you can't possibly miss that in all of Scripture, but especially in this text as well. What does the text say? All things are for your sakes, that the thanksgiving of many may redound or abound to the glory of God, and then for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish. It goes on to speak of our light affliction, and then while we look on the things that are not seen. Who are these our and you and yours? The Apostle Paul is speaking to the Church of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to you and to me. He's speaking that all of these things, affliction working our benefit, and that it's only light and momentary. He's speaking to God's people. Those who have been redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, because affliction doesn't work glory for everybody. The ungodly world, they experience affliction. And from an outward point of view, perhaps it's the case that many ungodly people in this world experience affliction to a much greater degree than you or I could ever dream of. But affliction for them is not working for them a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But it's working for them a far more exceeding and eternal state of condemnation, because they're not repenting of their sins and recognizing God to be sovereign over their sins. But affliction worketh glory for us. And these pronouns, us, it's referring to you and me, to us who are God's people, by way of our activity of faith. It's describing us as we are faith-filled Christians, because it says in verse 18, this is who we are. We are those who look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That is the activity of faith. That is the experience of faith. And in this way, you can be sure for yourself that affliction is working glory for you when you live by faith and when you look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, the things which are seen are the things that belong to earthly life. You can see your husband, you can see your wife, you can see your paycheck, you can see your earthly occupation from a certain point of view. You can hear things, you can smell things, you can perceive things, and all of those things belong to the things that are seen. Now, the Word of God says, upon those things you do not, nor may you look. Now, the Apostle doesn't say, you don't see them. Of course you see them. And the Apostle Paul says that, doesn't even teach here that these things are of no value, and that you must renounce them completely. No, that's not what he says. Of course these things are of value to us, but the difference is this. We don't look upon those things that are seen. That's different. Why? Because the things that are seen, no matter how precious they are to you and to me, and sometimes the things that are seen in our lives can hold a very great value. But those things that are seen, we will not always have. Because at the moment of death, we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose all our possessions. Doesn't matter how big your bank account is. At death, we lose everything. And so we don't look upon those things that are seen, meaning we don't rely upon them. We don't trust in them. We don't think that that those are the be-all and end-all of my life. But rather, we look at the things that are not seen. Those are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that are going to last. And those things are very real. We may say that just because we are commanded to look at things that are unseen, that somehow this is not real and we are to understand this in kind of a mystical way. Oh no, the things that are not seen are very real and they last. And those are the things that you will experience after death as well. The peace with God, joy over the forgiveness of all your sins, the comfort and the assurance that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of God. The Word of God says, don't look at the things that are seen. Don't rely upon them. But live a faith-filled life and look at those things that are not seen. And God works in such a way then that as we look upon those things, those unseen things, that in our own experience, that the affliction that destroys our outward man doesn't destroy us, but it rather causes our inward man to be renewed, so that that very affliction which we thought would have crushed us actually works for our glory. Now there's an implied admonition in this text to you and to me. Did you come to church this evening weighed down with some heavy affliction? And is it the case that your affliction is so heavy and so burdensome that you are ready to say to God, what's the use of living any longer? I can't stand it. I can't take the pressure of this affliction that you've placed upon me. And are you tempted to shake your fist to the Almighty and say, why did you do this to me? Don't you see? I can't handle this pain. I can't handle the pressure. And if that's true of you and of me, then the Word of God teaches us tonight that you may be feeling that way, not because of the affliction. The affliction isn't the cause, but the affliction is only the occasion of your feeling that way. The affliction is only light and momentary. But the Word of God to you is this. You are looking too much at the things which are seen. And you're forgetting about. And you're not looking as well as you ought on the things that are not seen. The things of the kingdom of heaven. And so the admonition to you and to me tonight is this. Look away from this earth. Look away from earthly money and earthly prosperity and fame and fortune and the things that consume the minds and hearts of ungodly men. Look away from this life. Look to those things that are not seen. Look to heaven. Look to God. Look to Jesus Christ. And you will see riches. you will see abundant treasure, and you will see that glory that God has in store for you. And so it's important that we know about this affliction, that our light affliction is but for a moment and works for us glory. We must know this so that we don't faint in the day of affliction. We've all experienced that day. We all will, at some point in the future, experience some very difficult day or month or year of affliction. The Word of God says, in comparison to the glory that awaits you, your affliction is light and momentary. Now let that strengthen and encourage you as you go forth and meet your afflictions. But further, we must know this about affliction so that we will be thankful to God, because the text speaks about thankfulness. Verse 15, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or abound to the glory of God. We are thankful to God in circumstances of affliction. No, we are not thankful to God for the affliction in and of itself, because that affliction all by itself is an evil in our lives, but we do thank God for what that affliction works. And that affliction works glory in our lives. And because we know that, and even though that affliction might be very difficult for us to bear, we can still get down on our knees at the end of the day, experiencing that affliction, and say, thanks God for this affliction, because I know that Thou art sovereign, and that this affliction is in Thy hand, and that You're going to make it turn for My glory. What a great God we have. What a powerful God. The gods of this world could not do that. They cannot make your present affliction work for your glory. But this is the God of the Bible. This is the God of Christianity. This is the God preached from this pulpit. Believe in Him and trust in Him. Submit yourself in all your afflictions and know that yes, your affliction is only light and only momentary compared to the glory that awaits us in heaven. Amen.